Radio Free Readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
This is the voice of the American Redoubt. This is the John Jacob Schmidt Show. Thank you guys for tuning in. I hope you had a blessed Thanksgiving dinner. We have so much to be thankful for. And even with the challenges that we have, we live in one of the most amazing countries still. And the most amazing, incredible countries ever to exist on the face of the planet, despite the efforts of the destroyers. And of course, this is the season when folks like you and me have to rise up and resist the tyranny and the destruction that they want to carry out against, well, the last bastion and light of liberty as far as nations on earth go. Of course, our light of liberty is actually Christ. But you can see all that he's blessed this nation with, it's Christ shining through. That's what that indescribable thing is about America. And despite the efforts of those on the left to destroy that and snuff it out, they have to. They have to in order to bring about this global system. People don't want to have anything to do with it, as long as there's something like America still there, shining in the darkness. So we are in the fight on a daily basis, fighting for liberty, the kind of liberty that only comes from Christ. And we want to spread the gospel whenever we get the chance. That's our calling, right? But it's also our calling to occupy, to stand firm, to stand against evil, to defend the defenseless, to stand against the oppressor, to free the oppressed. That's the Special Forces motto, by the way. De oppresso liber, liberate the oppressed. So that's what we want to do on a regular basis and, of course, educate ourselves. And this is an ever-going process. Before I get into the news and commentary, I want to make some announcements. Now, last week on the podcast, Radio Free Redoubt, weekly podcast, I made the announcement that this Saturday, today, this show that you're listening to right now, live, will be our last show on the American Christian Network in this time slot. I had to make some executive decisions here because of several things. First of all, we are growing so fast. Radio Free Redoubt is growing. The mission that we're on is growing. AMRON, the American Redoubt Radio Operators Network, which is a nationwide network of disaster communications and civil defense communications radio operators and communications specialists, is growing faster than I could have ever imagined and can hardly keep up with. Fourthly, where am I at on the list? There are, we are very politically active, myself and the partisans of Radio Free Redoubt. And there are so many activities that we are participating in or being invited to speak at and so on, that many of these are on Saturdays, which has precluded us from being able to attend many events, or we've attempted to try to pre-record before the show, before the weekend, or have been forced to re-air previous shows, which is not my first choice. So what we are going to do, and I made the announcement that we are not going to be able to sustain this anymore. Of course, there's costs. There's technical difficulties that we've experienced. But really, it is just the time issue and that we've grown so much. So several folks kind of lashed back at that, and they said, you can't go away. We need you here. And they've talked to the management at the American Christian Network. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to throttle back. How's that sound? What we are going to do is move to the 9 a.m. to 9:30 slot on Saturday mornings, 9 to 9:30. And I am going to pre-record those and have those to the station on Friday. So we are freed up Friday night, Saturday, and for the weekends. And then, of course, Sunday is our weekly podcast, 8 p.m. Pacific. That will always be there. That is our flagship. Radio Free Redoubt will always be there, the podcast. And also, that will take care of the audio issues on the Saturday show. We've been experiencing several technical difficulties. That will eliminate that. Today, it seems everything's working fine. But it has to be consistent. So this 9 to 9:30 show, each Saturday morning, will be on the Liberty Broadcasting, which is an affiliate of the American Christian Network. And that will be live, or that will be broadcast on AM 630 and 96.5 FM, both in the Spokane, North Idaho, Kootenai County markets. But for those of you outside the area, this will still live stream from 9 to 9:30 every Saturday morning. So you'll still be able to tune in even if you're outside of the coverage for the terrestrial stations. You can join the rest of like 90% of the listening audience across the country that are listening live streaming. And then we will also upload those to our Podbean site where we upload all of our shows, whether it's the podcast or the terrestrial radio shows. All of those audio files are there and archived so you can go back and listen to day one. Since our very first show on June 5th, 2011, all the way through today, those will always be there. So I want to invite you to join us over at KTW Spokane, 6:30 a.m. and 96.5 FM and live streaming if you're outside the area. And what this half hour, what that 30 minutes is going to be, is a continuing voice of resistance against tyranny and a spot for education and for a review, a shining a light on the week's events, a week in review, shining the light of truth on the lies and helping you, adding my observations from that week and how it affects us as redoubters, as patriots, as God-fearing Americans that still care enough about the blessings of liberty to still want to continue to fight for them. Just for our own, not just our own benefits, we probably will not reap all of the benefits. It's probably going to be for our posterity. So future generations are depending on how well or how we are willing to fight for that already hard-fought and won liberty that those have gone before us have had to fight for and passed down to us. So that's the announcement. This is the last show from 11 to noon on the Saturday full American Christian Network. And we'll have more information on Radio Free Redoubt on how to get involved there and how to learn more about how to continue listening. Of course, you guys always know Sunday night, is our 8 p.m. podcast, full-length podcast. We really delve into some of these issues that we're in, challenges that we're faced with. So anyway, thank you guys all. Thank you guys for praying us through this decision and this growth and the growing pains that we've experienced. This has been an amazing ride. And the last 2 years on the American Christian Network has been really a blessing. And we've met so many amazing people through the process. I want to thank the management of American Christian Network for believing in us. I want to thank our producer, Patrick Carey, who has dutifully been there every week and helping us get out on the air and being there for you guys. So thank you all. Now, in the last couple of minutes in segment one, we got a guest coming up here. Don't go away at the bottom of the hour. Somebody you guys are already familiar with. Now let's get into the news and commentary, which is brought to you by Glenn Tate and the 299 Days book series. Go to 299days.com to learn more about that 10 book series and the audio files. El Comandante has bit the bullet. Fidel Castro is dead at age 90, a hero to some. Fidel Castro died, and Cuban Miami did what it does in times of community celebration. It spilled onto the streets of Little Havana in Florida, honking horns, banging pans, setting off more than a few fireworks, save for exactly the sort of unexpected occasion worthy of their detonation. This is quite a time that we're living in. And I can just already imagine what Obama's speech is going to be, lamenting the loss of a great leader. The innovative things he did for free education, propaganda and indoctrination, and the things that he did for medical care, which, of course, all their top dogs, they either flew out of the country for medical needs or they flew in world-class doctors in to see them. That's not what the little people got. This guy was a murderer, a kidnapper. He was a tyrant. He was a narcissistic, communist, atheist leader that controlled people by pressing their boots on their throats to keep them in compliance. They disappeared people into prison systems that where they rotted to death. I'm not mourning the loss of Castro. I say good riddance. The only good communist is a dead communist or a repentant one. We'll be right back.
These days, churches come in all sizes and maturity levels. The Old South Church in Boston, home to Samuel Adams, was such a threat to the British that they filled it with dirt and stabled their horses inside. The North Church was not so outwardly controversial, but hey, at least they signaled one if by land or two if by sea. Then there was the church in Lexington, where under the spiritual leadership and moral guidance of Pastor Jonas Clark, Deacon Parker stood with the Minutemen, and thus the shot heard round the world was fired. Unfortunately, today's church is very different than the church of old. Today's church is like going to the movies. You look in the paper, see what time it starts, then you go sit in a room full of strangers and enjoy the show. Then you go get something to eat. This was never God's idea. The church that Jesus is building is fighting evil and destroying the gates of hell. I encourage you to find a church home today. This is Bruce DeLay with Heartland Church Tulsa. And this is your Patriot Moment.
When you get right down to it, nothing good has ever come from any government that promises to be all things to all people. This is especially true when it comes to our safety and well-being. Sometimes I cringe at the nanny state mentality of the globalists, socialists, and otherwise anti-Americanists who think they know better than ourselves just what's good for us. That brings to mind another great quote from the late President Ronald Reagan when he said, "I don't believe in a government that protects us from ourselves." They've forgotten the warnings of our founding fathers and so many others who have gone before us, who have warned us that it's not ourselves we need protection from, it's the government itself. And why shouldn't we listen to those voices? I mean, how could 400 million dead citizens worldwide in the past 120 years be wrong? I'm Violet Sabo, with points to ponder, words to live by, and ideals which define us.
The voice of the American Redoubt. Radio. Free. Redoubt.
Thank you for tuning in. This is segment two, which is brought to you by our great Patriot-owned business supporters, RiverfrontSuites.com. If you need a place to get away for the weekend, or if you're in the area scouting it out, looking for property and just assessing the area as you're making your strategic move to the American Redoubt, the land of the free. Go to RiverfrontSuites.com, beautiful little places right along the St. Joe River outside of St. Mary's, and kind of centrally located to Coeur d'Alene, Spokane, and Moscow, the Palouse. The whole area is just, and it's beautiful there. Check them out, riverfrontsuites.com. All right, now I want to continue on with the news here. There's several things I want to blast through real quick, and I want to address something that's been showing up in the American Redoubt news lately. But this right here, I'm working to verify this. This seems authentic and a long time coming. Hallelujah. DOD Directive 5210.56, Arming and the Use of Force. Now, you guys know that since Carter, military service members could not carry firearms on a military base for personal protection. They disarm them. You can't have people running around with guns. That's something reserved for the trained professionals, except the trained professionals that defend our nation. Well, we can't have them be armed. Let's disarm them. Of course, how many service members now have been mowed down by Islamic extremists on a military base, rendered defenseless? Well, this could change everything. This establishes policy and standards and assigns responsibilities for arming, carrying of firearms, and the use of force by DOD personnel performing security and protection, law and order, investigative or counterintelligence duties, and for personal protection when related to the performance of official duties. And also, final bullet point, this provides guidance for permitting the carrying of privately owned firearms on DOD property by DOD personnel for personal protection purposes that are not associated with the performance of official duties. It's about time, and I cannot believe this is happening under the Obama administration. This is why we really need to verify to see if this is real. That's one of the things that Trump wanted to push for. Let's hope it happens. Clinton campaign will participate in Stein's state recounts. They want to recount. Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Michigan could redo their vote counts. Remember what I said? Danger, Will Rogers. We are not out of the woods yet. Until he's inaugurated, December 19th is the date when the Electoral College voters cast their official votes, and the Soros-backed leftist communist organizations and globalists have been pushing very hard to put pressure on the Electoral College voters to change their votes in hopes of making the official announcement of Hillary being in. So don't stop praying. This isn't over. This is not over. Now, while we got the next 5 minutes or so, I want to talk about something that's been in the news lately in the American Redoubt regional news. There are several normally leftist news organizations who have been caught wind of the American Redoubt movement. So they're trying to figure out what it is. They're trying to define it. They're alarmed by the thought of a mass exodus of conservative, God-fearing patriots strategically relocating out of occupied territory, out of the stranglehold of those in the left from the Portland or Seattle areas along the coast or California or central Colorado. And they're strategically relocating to Eastern Washington, North Idaho, Western Montana, Wyoming, and Western Oregon. This has the left alarmed. First of all, that people can just dare to escape their perfect world and to dare to congregate together and actually strengthen an already conservative region threatens them. So they've been doing some news articles lately. And what they've done is they've tracked down some willing interviewees. One of them is a friend of mine, Chris Walsh from Revolutionary Realty. And they say, you know, we're trying to figure out what the American Redoubt is. We'd like to do an expose on the American Redoubt. Would you be willing to interview? And he says, sure. So he has Revolutionary Realty. He's helping. He specializes in preparedness or prepper type properties with defensibility in mind and storage and water and accessibility to water and the ability to grow your own food and all of these things, you know, that the preppers want to look for. And so he's dealing with a lot of people. And of course, that's they're moving into the American Redoubt. But preppers and American Redoubt are not the same thing necessarily. Now, we push for and we strongly promote and encourage God-fearing patriots to become self-reliant, not preppers where you just check out. We do not need preppers moving to the American Redoubt who will not get engaged in the fight for liberty. Because if your goal is to just hunker down in your basement and wait for the zombie apocalypse to pass, and then you're going to come out to and just resume your life without control, you're just going to count on somebody else building something for you to come out to. And if you don't get involved, if you don't care about fighting for liberty, somebody else already has a plan also for what this next chapter in America is going to be. And it is not something that you really want to care to come out to. We've all got to be engaged. And so preppers are not necessarily the American Redoubt movement. So here's the thing. This is like having a this is like having a big convention at the Spokane Convention Center. And the news wants to cover this convention center. Ooh, what's going on here? We're going to find out what this convention this weekend is all about. So we're going to go talk to the parking lot attendant and find out what this is all about. And the parking lot attendant says, I'm slammed. I mean, there's not enough parking spaces here for everybody. Look, I'm filled up. I'm filled up. People are rolling in for this convention. And so the news goes and reports, aha, we figured out what the American Redoubt movement is about. People are just looking for a place to park. So there you go. There's your expose. So what it is with the American Redoubt movement, people are strategically relocating and they are patriots and they are having an effect. They are shoring up the already conservative numbers and they are pushing the conservative base already that's there from center to the right of center. They're making it conservative to ultra conservative, which is exactly the intended goal. So when they run and say, hey, let's talk to this guy that's helping preppers move here, they're missing the mark. And the reason why I'm saying this is because this can have an effect on the patriots that are moving here that are saying, oh, American Redoubt. Yeah, that's not me. I'm not into that. Why are you not into that? Well, because I'm not really big into prepping and I'm not going to hunker down with, you know, all my cans of beans and my guns and check out. That's not really what I'm all about. So the American Redoubt movement is not for me. Well, hold on a minute. You just went and heard the report from the parking lot manager that's parking people. You don't know what the convention is, what's happening, right? So this is the American Redoubt movement. I am involved in the assemblies. I'm involved in several other patriot organizations, and I talk to people that are strategically relocating to the American Redoubt all the time. They are coming from occupied territory. They are saying, you people had better get involved. Because what I just left is coming. The controls, the environmental controls, the regulations, the gun laws, the forced compliance to a sexual deviancy agenda, controlling every aspect of your life, taking control of your children and the children's minds and separating the children from their parents and the evil influences of those with conservative views that the state is deciding it's their duty to expose these horrible right-wing extremist views and purge it out of your children's mind at your expense, by the way, without your knowledge or consent. That's what we just left when we left Central Colorado. That's what we just left when we left the Seattle area or California, wherever it is. These are God-fearing patriots that are rolling their sleeves up because it's very real to them. And they tell you over and over, I hear it. They say, you know, you say occupied territory, but let me just tell you, that's exactly what it is. That's how we feel. It has nothing to do with preppers moving in to the American redoubt. It's about changing strengthening the demographics of the conservative, God-fearing, conservative value-holding citizens that are also striving to become self-reliant. Yes, 6 months, a year's worth of food, absolutely. The means to defend yourself, you bet. The ability to communicate with each other so you can coordinate and share information and stay informed, even in the worst case scenario, a grid down situation, absolutely. But that's not the end goal. Those are just the peripherals, because the goal is to make sure that if there is a collapse of our socioeconomic and political system in this country, there will be a rebuilding just like there always has. This is very strategic. This is very forward thinking. And this is about being in place so you can assert something that a God-honoring republic or something modeled off the American Constitutional Republic to restore that. Even if the rest of the country rejects it and doesn't want it, they want globalism, they want socialism, and they want communism, and they want God removed from the culture. If that's what they want, then fine. Then maybe just regionally, and there are several regions, the American Redoubt just being one of them, and probably the most, I guess, prolific area advancing and fighting for and strengthening those conservative values. That's what the American Redoubt is about. And those that are fleeing, I'm going to say it again, those that are fleeing occupied territory, they are pleading with their fellow patriots who get here, and then they yawn, they stretch, and they got it made. Now I'm going to go hunting, I'm going to go fishing, I'm going to just kick back because it's so free here, I don't have to worry about it. Now I can get back to just doing things that I love. It's all about me now, but it's not about you. And I'm passing along their testimony. What they fled is on its way, and you've seen it. You've already gotten a taste of it, even in the American Redoubt, where it is conservative, mostly rural, with God-fearing patriots. So be prepared to get engaged. And we've talked about this over the last several weeks, how to get engaged on the podcast and on the radio show about not letting off. We're going to talk about this with our guest coming up here in just a few minutes. He has some insights as well. But this is the time to pour it on. I mean, don't stop praying. Pray just as fervently as you did right up to the elections. We were given a reprieve, and we want to make good use of it. So, with that, we are not going to open up the phone lines today. As a reminder, in case you're joining us late, this is our final show for this time slot, 11 to noon. We'll be on from 9 to 9:30 every Saturday on KTW. We'll be back in just a minute at the Voice of the American Redoubt.
Hi, I'm Chris Walsh, broker and owner of Revolutionary Realty, based in the heart of America's great redoubt, North Idaho. Every day, I sell homes and land to bankers, doctors, economists, scientists, military folks, and more for good reason. They all know what's coming and want a secure safety and peace for their family. They've done the research and discovered that North Idaho's superior environment, food insecurity, surrounded by more like-minded patriots than anywhere in America. At www.revrealty.us, you can read stories about North Idaho's weather, spring development, growing food, solar, and alternative energy. Additionally, every article has a beautiful quote from the brilliant mind of Thomas Jefferson. We also give you free access to our listings, so feel free to browse our inventory or fill out our short form, and we'll do the searching for you. Call a revolutionary today at 208-667-1776 or visit us online at revrealty.us. That's www.revrealty.us. And God bless you.
Very specifically, we have to ask ourselves and answer a question. Every individual, are we a loyalist or are we a patriot? Are we God-fearing, freedom-loving, self-reliant Americans? Or are we government-dependent, constitution-ignoring socialists? That is the question we all have to answer. And I appreciate Radio Free Readout because they've been answering that question quite well to many people in this area for a long, long time.
This is the voice of the American Redoubt. Thank you guys for tuning in. As I mentioned, we got a special guest coming up here. One you guys are familiar with, you've heard him before, but he has some keen insight into our current events and how they affect us. And of course, how you can prepare for it and not just prepare for whatever challenges. Some people are caught up in preparing for doomsday. SHTF, as they call it. But we don't just look at things as the end. This is just the beginning of a new chapter. We want to weather the storm so we can be effective in the rebuilding on the other side. And that's what's always really, intrigued me the most about Glenn Tate's work with the 299 Days book series. And we've got Glenn on the line today. And so it's an honor and a pleasure. Longtime supporter of Radio Free Readout, great friend, and a great author, too, with a great story. So, Glenn, thank you so much for joining us here at Radio Free Readout.
Oh, thank you for having me. You have the greatest audience around. I get to know your audience. I hear from your audience. And it is an honor. That's an overused word, but it truly is an honor. When you and I say that word, we mean it. It's an honor to speak to all those people out there because they're really good people.
They are the best. On this journey, I've met the most amazing people since this whole, what an opportunity is provided. People would have never otherwise have known. And so, yeah, I hear you. They're just, they're really great. Now, but, you know, one of the things I've been telling them lately we are happy that, well, this is what I said on election night. Someone said, can you believe it? It's awesome. Trump won. And I said, who cares? Hillary lost.
You know, exactly.
That's how I felt because I think we really dodged a bullet. But I know that you feel the same way. And this is that the challenges are not over. And, we live in such volatile times. You have such a desperate, threatened global system now that's like a wounded bear trying to figure out how to take this guy and his administration out of the equation. And so when these people are that desperate, they're going to do some very desperate things potentially. And I've been saying expect the unexpected from here on out, especially as we get closer to Inauguration Day, which is what I wanted to really focus on the first part of our discussion here. And that is we have a genuine communist-backed revolution that's brewing on the streets in America, and they are ramping up to fully unleash all of that fury. Focused on election day or inauguration day specifically. So I'd like to just get you to weigh in on just some of the current events as it relates to America and how it affects us as God-fearing patriots staying, looking alive for the times that we're in.
Yeah, and I'll start chronologically with the election. I assumed Trump would get the most number of electoral votes if it were an honest count. And I'll be careful here and not give away too much. I was involved in the Dino Rossi gubernatorial recount situation in Washington State where there was a 124 vote difference out of, I think, 4 million votes cast. I saw up close and personal how voter fraud works. Not that the people I was working for did it, but they were countering it. They were trying to deal with it. And I saw how pervasive it is. And I know, and no one will ever talk me out of this the rest of my life, I know that when it's close, really close, the Democrat cheating pushes the Democrats to the finish line. I've seen it with my own eyes. I've been shocked. I got that out of my system in 2004, that shock and horror. So I went into this thinking, Trump, if it were fair, probably win. The polls, everyone's wondering about the mainstream polls. Well, California is the reason that Clinton or any Democrat can be up 3 or 4 points and still lose the electoral votes, because there are, you know, 3 or 4 percentage points of extra Democrats in California, and the electoral votes already go and all of that. So I wasn't believing the polls. So I wasn't surprised, but I was surprised that the cheating wasn't enough to put her over the finish line. And everyone laughs and they think I'm being funny. I'm being very, very serious about that. So there was that shock. And then the morning of the after the election, I realized something that is not a very good reflection upon me, but it's true. That's the neat thing about having a fake name like Glenn Tate. Nobody really knows who I am, so I can be honest about myself and nobody thinks less of the real me. But I woke up and I realized I had been in a terrible mood for the past 8 years. I had been extremely pessimistic. And remember, I live in Olympia, the heart of darkness. I mean, it's Liberalville here, and there are all kinds of bad people walking around the streets. And most people, you know, around me right now are hardcore leftists, and they want to take my stuff. They want to vote for people who will take my stuff. And I didn't appreciate most of the people in the general population around me. And I got pretty bitter. And the day after the election, when I realized, at least nationally, the country wasn't 100% gone. Now, we'll talk more about how this isn't a time to go back to sleep, and it's not all sunshine and lollipops by any means. And there's, in some ways, even more danger now than there was before. But still, I, for the first time, didn't think of the general population of the United States. And I'm being very general here. There's tens of millions of really good people in this country. But I didn't look at everybody as basically having their hand in my wallet and wanting to take my rights and belittling my religious beliefs and all of those other things. I mean, it was tough, as you know, and your listeners know, it was really tough to be a Christian conservative in the United States the past 8 years. And I didn't appreciate that until the morning after the election. So I'm glad I kind of have that out of my system.
Well, I was going to say, too, the other thing, too, when you say, because I know you, when you say liberals don't want to take my stuff, that's an all-inclusive term. We're not talking about materialistic stuff. It's they want to take everything. They want to take the minds of your children. They want to take your wealth. They want to take your rights. They want to take your relationship between you and God. They want to take it all. This is not just taking my stuff. When you say they want to come and take my stuff, does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. They want to take America, and they have largely succeeded, by the way. And that just means we have to go take it back. But they want to take it all away, and they want to have people like me and you and all of your listeners either go somewhere else or go away. And they really don't want to have anything to do with us. And I don't mean that in just the social sense. I mean that in the physical sense. They want us gone.
Or that's submitting.
Really, that's hard to deal with every day. I mean, you know, your neighbors, and you try to be polite and you try to be a good example of a Christian. And, you know, I mean, I'm saved, so I should be in a really good mood. I get that. but I wasn't acting it out and carrying it out. So, luckily, there's that. But I foresee big, big problems, and there are two of them, and you touched on both of them earlier. Yes, Trump won. That's great. There aren't the immediate gigantic threats that there otherwise would have been. In all honesty, and I hate talking like this, you know me, and we've had private conversations about this. I don't throw this stuff around, but there would have been a civil war if Hillary Clinton would have won. Maybe not immediately. It might have taken a while. It could have been immediate. And so a lot of us had to sit down and think about what we're going to do in that situation. And that was a really, really unpleasant thought. And now, it still may happen, but at least it's not going to happen today.
Here's a good discussion. It might not be today, but there's a potential for it to come sooner than we think. I was speaking to a group of patriots last weekend in Washington and Northeast Washington, and the subject was brought up about this really big push that they're trying to get the Electoral College voters to change their vote, their official vote, on December 19th. And someone says, what if that happens? What if they put enough pressure on enough of them and they tilt the scales and make the official announcement that now Hillary has the most Electoral College votes. What do we do? Which stumped, it stumped me. I had to sit there and think that would mean that we are, I mean, as close to a civil war as you could get without calling for it. Just ponder on that. What do we do if that happens in 3 weeks from now?
Yeah. In some ways, it would be constitutional to do that. And that sounds odd, doesn't it? Because the Electoral College is in the Constitution, right? But obviously, there would probably have to be some bribery or blackmail or some other bad,
some
unlawful
type of extortion.
Thing would, yeah, extortion that would lead to that. So I don't think it would actually be constitutional, but in one sense it would. In a political sense, it might be thought of by many people as constitutional. They would just shrug and say, oh, well, the Electoral College, I never understood that anyway. She did get, you know, more votes. That's what everybody would say.
Except this would go beyond in the legal scope. It would be in the realm of tampering or intimidating elections.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to threaten or intimidate, or otherwise, you know, to unfairly influence an election, and these people would be they would be voting at that time or making their votes known public. It'd be a very interesting development in our country, and you know, I think I actually started beginning to think about that prospect. And what we would have to do with the leadership, rallying the leadership on a level that we have not seen for 240 years.
Yeah, it would be a mess. It would take the country by surprise, which would be problematic. In some ways, it was predictable what would happen if Hillary Clinton won and started doing the things she said she would do in the campaign, like taking guns and registering guns, which of course is the first step towards taking them.
Right.
Our opponents here are very crafty. They're very evil, and they have trillions and trillions of dollars at stake. And also, I don't know any of these people, obviously, but they strike me as the kind of people who have very bizarre personalities, and they're used to getting everything they want down mm-hmm. to, you know, they get a country if they feel like it. I mean, they want to collapse a currency. I'm thinking of George Soros here.
Yeah.
And they get to do it, and they're used to it. It's just like another day at the office to them.
Yeah. It's a game. It's like playing Risk to them. It's-
exactly. Exactly. And so they're going to do all kinds of terrible things that maybe we can't even foresee. And they're not done. You know, this idea that our opponents are like us is always troubling to me. Now, we need to be better than them morally, and we are. But a lot of times conservatives, I watch them approach political and other things, and they assume our opponents are a lot like us, and they do the honorable thing.
Yes.
they lose gracefully. They even believe maybe that our opponents, you know, tell the truth because, well, why would you lie? I mean, I don't lie. Nobody I know lies, and they're not terrible. I'm not a terrible person. I'm not around terrible people. Why would there be terrible people? You must be exaggerating and just, you know, thinking people are bad. You can't ever think that these people view the world the way we do. And you hit it on the head. It's like a game of Risk for them. It's monopoly on a global scale. And that's what they do. So they're going to do all kinds of stuff. I don't know what it is. I could see various avenues. The inauguration, I think, will be a pretty key thing. The one thing going for us with civil unrest on the inauguration is, and you might laugh, but you know this is true. I know some of your background. When it's cold, yucky weather, people don't turn out to riot as much.
Yeah.
No, it's true, and it's going to be January, so let's hope for that. But they're going to do all kinds of things. They have millions and millions of dollars. They have foot soldiers. They have, I don't know, tens of thousands, millions. I don't even know foot soldiers. They have all of the institutions in this country. Obviously, they have the media. They have tons of elected officials on their side. I mean, how many, you know, congressmen and congresswomen do we see who are making just ridiculous claims that, you know, I don't know, Republicans want to round up all minorities and kill them or some crazy thing like that. I mean, these elected officials, this handful of them, they actually say these things. So they've got all that going for them, and they're mad. And they see they're like these children who never lose. I mean, they never are told no. That's more precise. They're petulant, I think would be the best word for that. Petulant little children. Quite a few of them are millennials who always got participation trophies and don't understand that there's, you know, a possibility of losing. I mean, if they think something is a good idea, it's just going to happen. And anyone that opposes them is a horrible person who needs to go away. So yeah. That you've got the anger, and they also thought they were going to win this because of those polls that I mentioned earlier. So you mix all that together and there will be something. Now, this everything we've been focusing on has been the domestic situation. We have international adversaries, obviously, and they could, the foreign adversaries could, in concert with domestic adversaries, or it could be done separately. Foreign enemies could do something. Hacking is always right up there. Really taking down power systems and the internet and all of these other things. So there can be all kinds of mischief. There's going to be mischief. This country is so incredibly divided. The little things that wouldn't have been a problem a generation ago, events that wouldn't have been a problem, are going to be a huge problem because of the divisions. We have couple million people this Thanksgiving that aren't speaking to each other at the Thanksgiving tables. This divide is deep. This is not some media sensation thing. I see it here in Olympia. My goodness, there are angry, angry people here. I didn't know, you know, liberals could be so angry. They're usually passive aggressive. You don't really see them their true selves like this.
Pure aggressive.
It'll be something. What's that?
Just pure aggressive now without the passive part.
Yeah, aggressive.
Yeah,
And there are no limits. That's the amazing thing. It's neat that I have this kind of bird's eye view into ultra liberalism here in Olympia. But they don't have the liberals here. Don't have any boundaries, any controls on them. They always get what they want. They always outnumber everybody else. They always are quote right in the sense that everyone agrees with them. They're just used to getting their way. They are really like children and. Millions and millions of basically child-minded people are going to lash out and try to get what they want. And we all know this, 72 hours into it, the police can't take care of things. We all know the scenario as it unfolds from there. So I still don't know what the trigger is, and I still don't know the timing, but something will trigger this because this situation we're in, this divide in this country, absolutely cannot continue chugging along and with everything being great. And we have been given, by the grace of God, we've been given more time.
Yes.
I don't know why he did it. He's obviously God and I'm not. He's a just God and he's merciful and gracious. And this is his prerogative. The United States is under judgment. I just think it's clear. I thought Hillary Clinton would be the kickoff to the judgment. And it isn't. And so we need to take this time. Everybody that started prepping, you need to listen to me very carefully. Do not stop. You need to keep going. You need to finish this off because when you die, you will have to account for your life. And you will be asked why you decided after Trump won to sit around and, you know, watch football and do all these other things and check out in life and be lazy and you know, not spend time and money and maybe even strife in your family by prepping like you should. And you're going to have an answer. And the answer, well, Trump won and I thought everything would be okay. Might sound good down here and now, November of 2016, but it's not going to sound good to God. And so you have to do this. Water is critical. Comms are critical. I'm guessing most people listening to us right now have plenty of guns. Let's be honest. I mean, I'm the kind of guy who never says I don't need more guns, but right. I don't need more guns. Ammunition and magazines, you're probably good on also. That's another thing to get. But think about water and think about comms and get it done. And don't take the time off. You will really, really regret it.
Yeah, I think you're right. Now, I mean, we were talking preparedness. We're talking well-rounded, balanced preparedness. You need to become spiritually prepared and biblically literate. You need to learn skills that have been long forgotten on being self-reliant. You know, of course, self-defense and security is extremely important when you're faced with a a threat to your life or to your family's life, you know, that goes right to the top of the list of, you know, skills, necessary skills. But it really is. When we look at the food shortages, the economic collapses that are happening in different countries around the world, you've got to be able to get through that when you go to the store, when the people that are standing in line at the store all day for hopefully get their hands on some meat so they can have one meal with meat in it that week just to be turned away. That gets that we're so insulated from that. It's hard for our minds to even, you know, conjure up that type of an image here in America. But, you know, there's so many financial experts that are saying with Trump in place is great, but no single person can turn back this economic tsunami that's headed toward us.
Absolutely. And here's something that happened this week. Here's something to look at. The Dow and S&P 500 and I believe NASDAQ all hit peaks, all hit high, record highs at the same time. The last time that happened was 1999, right before the crash of 2000. And so all these markets are heated up, and there's all kinds of crazy emotional money going into the U.S. dollar, going into U.S. markets, because people are happy that Trump won, and everyone wants to believe that by electing one person, all the decades of bad decisions we've collectively made in this country are just going to be fixed. The debt will hit $20 trillion in February or early March. Trump can't undo that. If he raises interest rates, as he's talking about doing, that debt will go even higher because it'll cost more money to pay it back.
Yeah.
Interest rates should go up, but anyway, it'll have that effect on the deficit. So there are all these problems. Think of all these structural problems. Obamacare is not going to be repealed. I wish it would be. The debt is a problem. The regulatory schemes, you know. Trust me, I know a little bit about this. You can't just undo a bunch of these regulations overnight. You can maybe sign a piece of paper that might undo some of them, but it takes years and years, depending, for businesses to start acting on that. And so we're not going to have this big euphoric. This isn't going to be 1980 and a Reagan economic recovery because we're so hollowed out and we're so bad off. It could happen in 1980 because America's vastly different than it was in 1980.
Oh, yeah. Completely different.
Any way you want to measure it. Any way you want to measure it. You and I were alive in 1980. We remember, right? We were we were teenagers in 1980, and we were capable of seeing things and experiencing things. This is not 1980, and we can't just wave a wand and get out of it. So we got a little more time. We have to make the absolute best of it, who knows what's going to hit us, but something is going to hit us. We can't expect too much. We can be happy that things went a little bit better. I had a great Thanksgiving. I got to be really honest with you. It was a very pleasant, thankful Thanksgiving.
I know so many people that are they've got a little more pep in their step. They're smiling more. They're, you know, it's a good time, and I think this is, you know, it's time to enjoy the victory, but. We still have a whole war with many more battles ahead of us in the war for our culture and for our values and our heritage and everything else that we value. The next morning, George Soros says, this isn't over. Now's the time. Now we get to work. And so who knows what they have up their sleeves. But I know you address a lot of things about your journey and other folks' journey on how to prepare in your 299 Days book series. If you could just take a minute to get some information out there for the listeners where they can go and they can learn more about that.
Yeah, the website 299days.com has links to everything. You can go on Amazon and look for that, and you'll see overviews of the book, and you'll see, I don't know, 500 reviews so far. I kind of look, but I hate reading reviews of my books, even the good ones. So you can learn about it that way. That's probably the way to go. Very active Facebook page, which is 299 days parentheses the book. That's a great way. I'm able to put up 3-4 news articles a day. Some serious, some funny, and readers send in pictures of themselves, and they talk about how the book has affected them, and that gets put up there, and it's a neat community. So there's the ways to get a hold of information about the books. But, you know, I would rather people, you know, go to the library and try to get the library to buy the books, and they get the information for free, and they take the money they would have spent on the books, and they prepare. So, you know, prepare, read the books, share the books, but spend your money and your time preparing.
Yeah, real practical, and also not just preparing for the storm, but also the great adventure of making it through the hardships that all the characters went through. And then they were focused on the rebuilding, which is, you know, that's a major theme and recurring theme here at Radio Free Redoubt. We focus on the rebuilding on the other side, which is the whole reason why we want to be self-reliant, self-sufficient. So when your belly is full, it's so much easier to focus on rebuilding something that you can have an influence on, as opposed to watching your children going hungry and trying to figure out where your next meal is going to come from. That's going to immediately push all other priorities way down to the bottom. So I appreciate your message in that, in the series, you know, regarding that.
Yeah, you bet. It's been the adventure of a lifetime, as you know. I never thought anyone would read this. I didn't write it to be published. And I've just been stunned. I get emails from people, and they describe in very rich detail how these books have changed their lives for the better. It's just, it's an amazing honor that God has bestowed upon me, and I treat it very seriously and very humbly because He did all the work, and I was the guy at the keyboard, and I'm very, hey, that's great. That's still, you know, that's a great, a great role to have.
Absolutely. All right. Well, thank you so much once again, Glenn, for joining us. Glenn Tate, the author from 299 Days book series. Learn more by going to 299days.com. Longtime supporter of Radio Free Redoubt. Much appreciated. Glenn, God bless. And we'll do it again soon.
God bless you too, John Jacob.